Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ruler Podcast. I'm Ian Parkinson. In this edition, we'll be taking a look forward to the upcoming Ruler Classic event in London and taking a look back at some of the highlights from last year. We've also got the results of the competition from the last podcast and a chance to win your own Maglia Rosa, so keep listening. In this, the second year of the Ruler Classic, it's expanded and moved to a new venue, Victoria House in Bloomsbury Square. There'll be 3 days of guests, events and exhibitors, each themed around the Grand Tours. The Tour de France on Thursday, Giro d'Italia on Friday and Vuelta a España on Saturday. Guests will include Jan Ullrich, Sean Kelly, Christian Prudhomme, Joe Rozelle-Shand, Laura Trott and Jason Kenny, David Miller and Sean Yates, to name only a few. The podcast will be there and we'll be taking you on at least one, maybe more, visits to the event. So let's take a listen back to some of the highlights of last year, including, of course, the greatest of all time, Eddy Merckx. Has cycling changed so much that there'll never be another all-round conqueror like the Cannibal?
Yeah, for sure, cycling has changed, but if you see other sport, also hard sport, you look at tennis, you can also have players who play all the years, and I think also cyclists, if you have people who have the capacity that had before and the passion of cycling, I think now it is possible to do the same that I was doing. I'm not somebody of another planet.
Everyone seems so specialised now that the idea of someone winning all the Grand Tours, all the classics, setting the world down, seems very far-fetched now.
Yeah, it changed, but I like my cycling. When I was riding, because I like race, it was a passion, and so maybe if I was born this year, so I also have to do the same than the riders today. But I tell you, I prefer my cycling.
When you do look at modern cycling, when you look at current cycling, who are the riders that you think they've got it? They're the real standout riders at the moment.
I have riders like Sagan, who is the world champion, and Chris Froome for the stage races for sure. And then before you have Bradley Wiggins. You have great sprinters like Cavendish. You have Kittel, Christoph now. That's Contador. You have Nibali, Aru, Quintana. You have a great rider also like Valverde. I think the big champions now also. But it changed, but it's always a hard sport, and talent is not enough. You have to work hard to stay on the top.
Do you think Sagan, of all contemporary riders, is the one who has the most Merckx about him, if you like?
Yeah, in the one-day races, for sure. But in the stage races, he's not climbing enough to win the Tour de France. I think Chris Froome is better climber, is better time trialer, so he's... Yeah, but Sagan, I like very much Sagan because he's a very modern cyclist, and it's good for cycling that Sagan is a world champion.
it's good for cycling because he's a real hard racer.
Yeah, absolutely. He's always in the attack. He's a rider that like the riders like I was doing in my time. But now it's different, and I know that now the cyclists have more pressure because it's more media to the races. And but okay, it's still a hard sport, and it's still the best. The nicest sports of the world is cycling.
When you look at modern riders, how do you think they would have done against Merckx in 69?
I don't know. You cannot compare different times. And the most important is to be the best when you ride. And I'm the best of my generation. And that's for me enough.
Last year, the newly retired David Miller was reflecting on how cycling, especially in Britain, has changed. He'll be there again this year with the added experience of a full season's TV commentary on his palmares.
It's completely changed. I mean, it really has. I mean, look at this show that we have here, the Rouleau Classic, is something that would have been unimaginable a few years ago. The fact we have, you go into any magazine shop, there's probably over a dozen cycling magazines. It's probably the number one sports literature of choice cycling books. And then there's just the massive amounts of participation, the new brands coming in all the time. It's just booming.
Do you think it's going to last, or do you think it's going to be over again in a couple of years?
No, it's not going anywhere. But I mean, obviously the acceleration has to at some point kind of slow down. I mean, it can't, you'd imagine it can't keep going like this, but if we can get to a plateau and maintain it, that would be fantastic.
I've just finished reading your latest book, A Racer, which I think is a tremendous book. Right at the end of it, there was something which I found interesting. You were almost sort of lamenting the passing of old-school British cycling clubs and whether that got sort of lost in the modern cycling.
Well, no, it's not been lost. It's just been dwarfed, I think. I think that's the reason the sport kind of stayed alive in the UK when it wasn't popular was because of these old small clubs, and that's how I got into the sport. And I think it's easy for us to forget and perhaps belittle those clubs now in their old-fashioned ways, but I think we owe British cycling to those clubs, and I don't think we can forget them.
Do you look at racing currently and wish that you were starting your career now?
No, I'm pretty happy. Maserati ambassador. Well, Chapter 3 clothing line. Ah, life's sweet. Ah, I wouldn't change it.
Another pro-turned-TV pundit, and in his case bike manufacturer, is Chris Boardman. He was also reflecting on the huge growth of cycling.
There's a good chance, I think, we're getting towards the top of the apex at the moment because we've saturated it. We've sucked in a lot of new people, and people don't buy really expensive bikes every year. You know, they tend to do it every 2-3 years like you would with a car or anything else that's expensive. So I think the industry is going to go through that, but on the whole it's as healthy as it's ever been. We sell more bikes now in the UK than we do cars, which is always a good thing. And at the moment we're on the cusp of making proper commitment to making sure there's space for people to ride bikes, and that's a whole other community, normal people in normal clothes, and that for me would be when we're really winning.
Lizzie Armitstead, now Lizzie Deignan, was there, fresh from her World Championship victory, and looking forward to Olympic year with some trepidation, although unaware of quite how difficult it was going to be.
Yeah, next year's going to be exceptionally difficult. The Olympics, I've been to see the course, it's just brutal, like climb after climb and steep and long, everything is in there, even cobbles. So it's going to be the best bike rider in the world that day that wins the race. And I like those kind of races. Tactics won't come into it. It will come down to who's the strongest.
For Fabian Cancellara, of course, 2016 was always going to be his last year of racing, and one that ended with another Olympic gold round his neck. Not that he was necessarily anticipating that at the time.
I'm really excited. I'm really motivated. I have a really big will, and I have no stress. I have no hurry. I mean, well, I restarted training now, and I'm on basic training, getting up some kilometers in the legs, and move on for next year. I try just to enjoy my all kilometers until to my day off.
Less pressure now then?
Yeah, kind of less pressure. Yeah, I think after this year, when we see with my crashes and my sicknesses and my not performing how I wanted to do, I think I have really nothing to lose.
What would be your big ambition for your last season?
Every race is kind of an ambition because I know that it's going to be the last one.
A personal highlight for me, which I hope may be equaled at this year's event, came in meeting the legendary Mario Cipollini. He lived up to his reputation as a flamboyant, eccentric, egotistic, quintessentially Italian sprinter, and another pro cyclist turned international businessman.
Yeah, he's my second life, no? I try to make my best before when I am a rider, and now I try to make my experience and my passion in my bike. I hope the people you like this is possible to feel this soul inside my bike.
There's something very Italian about your bikes, I think.
Yeah, I am Italian, and I think the Italian, you make the school of the cycling and in all of the cycling, technical, agonistic, food, and now is changing the world. Your world is changed, but the base is you have inside of the cycling, inside of the Italian. It's my style, is Italian style. I think this is normal.
You were not just stylish on the bike when you were riding. You were stylish off the bike as well. Do you look at cycling today and think it's maybe not as glamorous, not as stylish as it was when you were riding?
All is changed. No, only on the cycling, in the sports. I think so. You reflecting through the 20 years ago in the sport, you have an incredible champion. Every sport you have one champion. Now you have the guys, the people is very strong, but not the very important for make the children to come in the sports.
Not as inspirational, maybe.
No, have a, I think it's very different. Before you have more personality. Now he's a very strong rider, but he's only with the other people you drive the rider. Is no singular mind.
Talking about things like the radios in the ears and the measuring and the computers and everything.
Now, after the race, in an interview, you feel the same. All day is the same. Before is different. I remember Pantani, I remember Indurain, I remember Saroni, I remember Moses, De Vlamico, the other big champion. You have a big heart inside. It's possible to come outside of the cycle, but now it's different.
And when you see Cavendish or Kittel or people like that, do you sit there thinking, I could have beaten him?
Every sprinter, you have the incredible mind. Every day he thinks that you are the best. For me, I am the more strong. For De Vlaeminck thinks you have the best. For the other sprinters, sprinters not only in the legs, in the mind, no? But it's very nice. You have a big sprinter every 10 years, but I stay for 17 years.
A returning guest from last year will be the legendary Belgian team owner Kenny van Vlaeminck. Top Bonk Schleppers has been renamed following a new sponsorship deal. It's now Top Bonk Flemish Fish Flans of Flanders. He'll be bringing his unique insight once again, and we'll be hoping for more extraordinary revelations like those about his old rival, Mario Cipollini.
I know Mario. We drink, we talk, we cycle the bicycles. I show him the canals inside Belgium. I show him many things. I show him my loft also. He come to my loft many times. But Ken Wavell game, 1993. We are in the break. 13 riders because a level crossing is coming down, separating the peloton. I am the 13th guy. I'm waiting. And Mario, he's afraid. I see in his eyes the fear of Kenny because he knows my tempo is the biggest of the small tempos. He said to me, Kenny, in Italian also, I need to take this classic. But I assure you, I am afraid of the power of Kenny. He pay me. I hold the tempo, he take the victory.
Mario bought Gent Wevelgem from
never,
you.
I never say this before, but we move on.
Of course, the other great Belgian rider who's here at the Ruler Classic is Eddy Merckx. I imagine you've caught up with him and reminisced a little.
Yeah, I have a problem with Eddy. Always he's greedy in the races, taking too many of the classics. So I have a little bit of a problem with Eddy because I sometimes feel that had we been racing at the same moment, it would have been a different story. And inside, in the mind of Eddy, because I see it, sometimes he comes to Gids for the clog festival, often, and also the vegetable carving of the semi-professionals in the lawn mowing. He comes to this sometimes, and I say to Eddy, you know, Kenny is the number one, and he cannot meet my eyes. This is the problem.
Of course, during your career, a lot of people said that there was a little bit of Eddy Merckx in you.
Yeah, I think because I am from Belgium, of course, and he's a Flandrian, it's possible that this is so. I, in my generation of the 1990s and a small portion of the 2000s also, the 20s, I was, I guess, reminiscing of Eddy in the essence of the tempo.
Except he won a lot of races.
Yeah, this is a small detail, huh? Eddy won a lot of races, but you know, sometimes he has a lot of luck. Also, there's not so many top-class professionals eating all the wrong food, always the cheese, and the training. But Eddy, sometimes he's lucky, and he knows it. I know he has a problem with this.
And that's pretty much it for this edition. If you haven't seen it yet, go and buy Ruler issue 66 now. It's got great articles on Peter Sagan's year in the Rainbow Stripes, Team Rwanda's first visit to the UK, the London Six Day, and much more. In the Ruler competition for issue 65, we asked which club did Chris Juliensen ride for as a youth in Ireland. The answer was Sorrento CC, and the winner was Julian Barr, who'll be getting a copy of the Tour de France roadbook pretty soon. This time, the question is, what team was Giovanni Battalin riding for when he won the 1981 Giro d'Italia? And the prize is a Maglia Rosa, a pink jersey made by Castelli and signed by the man himself. Go to the podcast page on the Ruler website to enter. Hope to catch up with you at the Ruler Classic, either in person or via the podcast, and looking forward to catching up with some more legends of pro cycling. Some of them, anyway.
Of course, the other great Belgian... Going so well.
All right, we go.
Yeah. I'll come back to that.
Okay.
Of course, when you were riding, a lot of people said that there was a little bit of Eddy Merckx in you.
Yeah, this is...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.